The psalmist in Psalm 19 declares the following. I feel like I have a long way to go this morning. Maybe this is the morning I pull out some interpretive dance. Who knows? Says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. The words to the ends of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God. We've been looking at this spiritual journey. We've been looking at what it looks like to grow spiritually. We were looking at when God has his way with us, where, how does he move us? What does he do in us? And what does that look like? And I'll remind you of why we're doing it. It's to do it so that we maybe have a sense and maybe can identify where we are in that journey, so that we're better able to participate with God in it. We're not in it to compare ourselves to others. As I shared last week, that great quote from Greg Rochelle, comparison only causes us to feel inferior or superior, and neither accomplishes God's purpose. It's not about seeing where we are in comparison to others, and it's not seeing where others are in comparison to us. It's about identifying what God is doing in this season and in this moment in our life and figuring out what it is to say yes to him. And we all begin on our spiritual journey in maybe a similar place as the psalmist, where we might come to a realization that God is out there, that there is a God, and that he can be seen in what's been made, as Paul says in Romans. There's a sense of this has got to all gotta come from someplace, and I feel this longing and this compulsion to connect with whomever, whatever that is, and it begins and it sparks this journey. And then maybe we come to a place in our journey where we identify it as the God of the Scriptures, as the God of the Bible. We come to know Jesus. We hear Jesus' invitation to recognize him as Lord, to recognize the fact that he died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that includes me, and that he has plans and purposes for my life. And we say yes to God, and we invite him in, and we begin this journey with him. And we begin a journey of learning how to pray. We begin a journey of what does it look like to relate with him. And so we read the scriptures and we listen for his voice from where it may come. And we pray and we look for God to move and to change the world around us. And we invite the God who's out there to come here and to change me. But as we go along this journey, everybody who talks about spiritual growth talks about this moment, this realization that is key. This moment that changes everything. That moment is actually hard for people to get past, because as we talked about last week, we go through this moment where we say yes to God, we invite him in, and he begins to go to work in us. He helps us become aware of our sin, those ways that we're conforming to culture, those ways in which we're trusting things that aren't him. Those things that we are loving that aren't him, because God wants us, all of us, and we were made for him. And so he begins in that earliest stage of spiritual growth to begin to reveal to us those things that we're trusting that weren't made to be trusted, that aren't him. Those things that we're giving our affections and we're placing our hope in that aren't him, because he knows that we are made for him and that we are made to trust him and to love him alone. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we talked about how that's not a pleasant journey. But there is fruit. There is a gift on that journey. And it is this. It's similar to, you've probably seen a video like it if you haven't had the experience yourself, where you're you have your phone out and you're talking with somebody, and that's upside down. Boom. And that's dropping. And you're talking on the phone to somebody, and you're going along, and the conversation is going on, and you go and you turn a corner, and all of a sudden they're standing there on their phone, like grinning at you. Somebody who you thought was a long ways away. Somebody who you realized was far off. Maybe somebody who you're in a long distance relationship in, or somebody who lives on the other side of the country who's surprising you and showing up in that moment. If you haven't had an experience like that, YouTube it. There's all kinds of videos of people screaming and crying and throwing their phones and hugging their loved ones and all kinds of great moments. But there's a stage in our spiritual journey that is just like that moment, where we come to the realization that the God who we thought was far off, the God who we thought was out in the heavens, the God who maybe we were like the ancient Israelites, and we thought there were holy places, and we thought there were places like the Holy of Holies and in the tabernacle where God would come and fill that place, but we couldn't go to that place, but we could come near to that place, but we couldn't enter in. And maybe we thought that God was like that, but there's a point in all our spiritual journey where there's this moment where I've trusted Jesus and I've journeyed along, and there's some stuff going on, and you realize Christ is in me. God is not far away. He is not distant. By his Spirit, he has indwelled me. And so I don't need to go climb a mountain. I don't need to go through some great feat. I don't need to go find him in some place. God is inherently present and at work in me all the time. That is the story of Scripture, is a God who begins just generally out there and then is in a few key holy places as you go through the Old Testament, and then comes in the form of Jesus and becomes tangible and touchable and hearable and smellable and just utterly everything that we long for. But then Jesus actually at a point in the journey says, it's actually better for you if I leave, because if I leave, I will send a helper. And Jesus leaves, and Jesus' disciples are told to wait to see what will happen. And then in Acts 2, that helper comes. And it doesn't like move around them. It doesn't cause them to be able to do some things. It doesn't come and go here or there. It actually like rests in them and begins to work in them to bring about the life that God wants for them. Paul describes it this way. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've died to myself. I've gone through some of this process of dying to the sin, of dying to the things that I used to trust, I used to love, I used to place my hope in, but now wholeheartedly, I embrace the fact, I love the fact that part of me has died because a new part of me has come to life with Jesus. And in that process, Christ has come to live his life in me and through me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Philippians, Paul says this, he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be on that journey, be on that process of growing in your faith. Why? Because God is at work in you. Because God's in you. He's doing something in you, causing you to will and to act according to his good purposes. And this morning, I simply want to invite you into a thought experiment. We're going to pick this up again next week. and move past it to where it all leads. But I want you to invite you to think about the way that you think about God and the way that you relate to God. And what changes if you actually believe that God is not the God who is out there only, who may be omnipresent, who there may be nowhere where you can go to flee from his presence. And that may even be wonderful, beautiful news for you. But what goes if we move from a view of God exclusively being out there to a view of acknowledging that God in some unique, beautiful way is present in me and is at work? How does that change what you think it looks like to walk with Jesus? How does it change what it looks like for you to cooperate with the Spirit? How does it impact your prayer life? If God is not out there at a distance somewhere having to be called down or invited into, but God is actually, because of your faith in Jesus, has claimed you as his own, has marked you, has put his Spirit in you as a deposit, as a testament to the fact that he intends to come back for you because you belong to him, and that that Spirit is now working in you in the way that Jesus talked to the woman at the well, causing this life to well up in you, this spring that would never run dry. How does that change the way you spend time with him? How does that impact the way that you read Scripture? How does that change what it is to listen for his voice? How does that impact the way you read the passages in Scripture where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit? And so, I want to leave you there. I want to invite you to think about that, to wrestle with that, to explore Scripture on that this week, to pray, to have conversations with your friends, your fellow believers, and to wrestle with, okay, what does that look like for you? How does that play out in your experience? You know, what have you heard? What have you learned? And next week, we'll come back and hopefully land a place where we can see that as God's like actual greatest gift this side of eternity. Because I'm convinced it's that reality that enabled George to journey the journey that he journeyed the way he did. Outwardly, he was wasting away, but inwardly, he was being renewed. Because the God who raised Jesus from the dead was at work in him. So what does that look like for you? Now, this was not scripted. I wanted to leave you with this prayer. It's a prayer of St. Patrick. I'll read you the first bit and then we'll get to the second bit. It says, as I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me, the power of God uphold me, the wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me, the ear of God hear me, the word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me, the way of God lie before me, the shield of God defend me, the host of God save me. May Christ shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me. Amen. Isn't that neat? I didn't know you guys were going to do that song this morning. But the song that we sang this morning is taken from that prayer of St. Patrick. But can I pray that over you as we leave this morning? Would you stand and can I bless you with this? May Christ shield you today. May Christ be with you. May Christ go before you. May Christ be behind you. May you know the Christ that is in you, the Christ that is beneath you, the Christ that is above you, the Christ that is on your right and on your left, the Christ when you sit down, the Christ when you lie down, the Christ when you stand. May Christ be in the heart of everyone who thinks of you. May Christ be in the mouth of everyone who speaks of you. May Christ be in the eye of everyone that sees you, and Christ be in the ear of everyone that hears you. We pray that in the name of that Christ. In the name of Jesus, we ask all this. Amen.